You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer, but if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
When I was younger, I was a fairly conservative Christian. You may not know this about me, but I even went to an Assembly of God college for 2 years. I believed in a literal second coming of Christ, that one day there would be trumpets and Jesus would appear and then the realm of God would take place. And then my best friend shot her head, blew her head off, and all of that fell apart. So I went to the complete opposite direction. I thought the kingdom of God is symbolic language. The kingdom of God is something out there in the sweet by and by. And that just a little talk with Jesus makes it right mentality fell away. Today, I'm in a different place. I believe that there is a realm of God. But I believe that the realm of God shows up when the people of God act like kingdom people. I believe that the realm of God shows up when we do the hard work that Christ calls us to do. In this text, again, as with last week, I said that Jesus had a mass following. He could have created his own kingdom in the world. But instead, he talked about the realm of God. The realm of God is like a small seed that's planted and grows. The realm of God is like turning the other cheek. It makes no sense, and yet it works. The realm of God shows up when we, the people of God, do the hard work of God. Typically, we're going to have to do this hard work by ourselves out in the world. But at least one day a week, we're given the chance to practice it together, to do the things like turn the other cheek. Now, I have to address this in particular because I have had too many women tell me that they've stayed in abusive relationships because they read the scripture, turn the other cheek. Many of us know from the news a lot more about the Middle East than we used to. We, for example, know that the left hand is considered an unclean hand. It is the hand that people clean their bodies with. So no one would ever hit you with their left hand. There was also a small rule that said you can never backhand someone. So if someone hit me and I turn the other cheek, they can't hit me with this hand. And they can't backhand me. So what I have done is I have rendered my opponent helpless in a non-violent way. The Mahatma Gandhi loved the Sermon on the Mount, the Hindu. And he took the teachings of Jesus and was able to bring down the greatest empire in the world at that time in a nonviolent way. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. took this text and used it as the triumphal call of the civil rights movement. To turn the other cheek means to forgive. And not to hate. Hatred is a kind of poison that we take, and then we expect the other person to die. So today, once again, we're called to do the hard work of God, to turn the other cheek, to pray for the enemy, to pray for those who persecute you. Now, I get up here and I take pot shots at the governor and Sally Kern, but I've never prayed for them. If I prayed for them, I'd probably pray that they died on the spot. But God calls me to do better. God calls me to be a kingdom person and to set my bad attitudes aside. So the way we treat one another does matter. And when we react out of anger, I talked about anger last week, but one of the things I didn't say is anger is always a choice. Anger is always a choice. And peace is a choice as well. So at any moment, we can choose to turn towards the anger or we can choose to turn towards the peace. I don't know if any of you ever listened to the Moth Radio Hour on KOSU, but I heard a story and I was so moved by the story that I went online and I listened to it two other times. There's a man from Georgia, and he told, these are real stories, and he told this story about how he and his wife wanted to be involved in the civil rights movement. So they moved to Atlanta, and they lived in a poor black neighborhood. There was a woman, and she was an alcoholic, so their daughter would frequently come to this man's house, and he and his wife would take care of her. When they were getting ready to move, the girl asked if she could come with them, and they said yes. They raised her. She graduated from high school. She went on to college, and she was a very successful woman. One night, a drug dealer broke into her home, and he tied her up, and he put her in the closet. And then he went away, and he came back, and he wanted sex. And she said, "You'll have to kill me first." And so he did. And then he violated her body. They found this man. He was found guilty. And the family went to his sentencing. And they spoke. And Mr. Black's other daughter said to Ivan, the man who had killed her, "I hate you. I hate you. I want you to die. You will wake up tomorrow and you will see the sun. My sister will not. I hate the fact that my tax dollars are going to be feeding you while you rot in jail for the rest of your life." Mr. Black stood up. He's a Quaker. And he said to Ivan, "I don't hate you, but I hate with all my might what you did. You took my daughter. But I hope that God's love will be able to heal us, and one day you will find healing as well." He said that Ivan looked at him and began to weep and said to the family, "I'm so sorry." Mr. Black felt this need to write to Ivan, and they wrote back and forth for a number of years. One year they started sending packages to Ivan. And Mr. Black said, "I couldn't believe what I was doing. I was sending a Christmas package to the man who had murdered my daughter." But he felt like he had to do that. Pretty soon, Mr. Black and his wife took a 2.5-hour trip to go see Ivan. And they sat there. And Mr. Black is deaf, so he had to sit close to him. And they talked for 2.5 hours. Afterwards, Mr. Black said, "I stood up and he stood up, and it just felt like the most natural thing to hug him." And tears came from both people. He said, "I knew at that point I had forgiven him and that I was released of my hatred." Because when we forgive a person, then we choose to be able to care about them again. Loving your neighbor, going the extra mile, praying for those who persecute you, praying for those who say all kinds of things against you. It is not easy. I'm not saying it is easy at all, but I'm saying it is necessary. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Christianity is a simple, easy religion until you take it seriously. Until you take it seriously. And it is the most demanding thing that you will ever do. We as a community of faith could take the Sermon on the Mount and we could spend our whole lives trying to get there. And maybe we will. But what I want to tell you is the world needs you. The world needs kingdom people. The world needs forgiveness. The world needs love. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. But sometimes ministers have to say the things to people that they know so they can just have an excuse to say amen. But again, I'm going to invite you during communion time to use these pew pads to pray for forgiveness for those who have hurt you. And by the way, the person you pray for might just be yourself. That we've allowed ourselves to stay in abusive relationships for too long. That we've abused our bodies. That we've allowed people to treat us badly. Maybe you need to ask for forgiveness for yourself. I don't know. But whoever you are, and wherever you are on your journey, I invite you to look at this text. Let it sink deep into your soul. And let us together learn to be kingdom people. Think about it. Amen.